God for another morning that God has given us. And today we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians and chapter 3. And we're going to read from verse 7 to the end. And we're going to be looking at the glory of the new covenant. And just to understand, I will read from NLT, and then we'll be able to understand it. So the Bible says that from verse 7, the old way with laws etched in stone led to death, though it began with such a glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face. For his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, the first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel will not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today when they read Moses' writing, their hearts are covered with that veil and they do not understand. But when someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So, all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is Spirit, makes us more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Maybe I'll quickly just read the last part in King James, just to give a different approach from verse. Okay, so maybe from verse 15. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we ask ourselves, you know, when we think of the new covenant, what do we think of the new covenant? Anyone who comes to Christ is no longer under the old covenant. And you see, this is something that many people are usually excited about, because they don't want to be under the law, you know, because to them, when they hear of the old covenant, they think of the laws of Moses, they think of, you know, following the Ten Commandments, following that, you know, all those various rules, tithing, and all those things. So many people's understanding of the old covenant is only limited to what they know about certain rules and regulations. But you see, the Bible is telling us that the old covenant, when it was given, it actually did not just, it wasn't just about rules. It was that Moses met with God face to face, and he was able to see the glory of God. Now, when Moses saw the glory of God, when he went to the mountain and God gave him the old covenant, God gave him the law of Moses, and he saw God, he came back reflecting the glory of God. And he came back with the covenant that was written by God in tablets of stone. Now, the tablets of stone were the critical laws, the 10 laws that God gave them, which you call the 10 commandments. And the Bible says that the old way, the old covenant, which was written in stone, led to death. That even though it began with the glory, even if it began with such glory, it led to death. Why? Because it was a covenant with God and the people. If you don't obey the covenant, I mean, if you read Deuteronomy 28, it tells you how to choose today between life and death. If you obey, I'm going to bless your land, I will bless your water, I will bless your food, I will bless your health, you will not miscarry, you're not going to do all things. But then if you fail to obey that old covenant, what used to happen? The Bible says that they were curses. I will pour out the curses that you sow over the Egyptians. So, I mean, when you read the old covenant, it was about blessings and curses. So the law actually had a curse. The Bible tells us that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That tells you that the law, when it was given by Moses, the reason why verse 7 we see, it tells us the old law, old way, with laws etched in stone, led to death. And I've clearly said that it was clear. God made them a covenant and he told them, you know what? You're going to have a covenant. If you're going to obey me, if you're going to follow my ways, I'm going to be your God and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your water. I'll bless your family. You're not going to miscarry. You're not going to die young. You're not going to be sick. I'm going to take away all the sicknesses. I will bless you in the city. I'll bless you in the countryside. But then if you don't obey the covenant, then what will happen? All the curses that will be on the Egyptians will come on you. You know, they will miscarry, there will be death, there will be tumors, there will be so. So it was just blessings and curses. But then, because it was a covenant, you have to obey it. Now, the reason why it led to death is because it is impossible to keep the covenant. I mean, look at, speaking of the Lord, name of the Lord in vain, how many times do you find yourself just cursing? Or when it says, do not lie, do not steal, do not covet your neighbor's property, you know, do not commit adultery. If everyone was to be judged on the Ten Commandments, no one is able to stand. And that is why fault was found with the old covenant. But now you see, the old covenant in itself, it had glory. And that's why we are reading that. For his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. So when Moses encountered God and he came from the presence of God, his face was shining. He received the covenant that led to death. That's what I've explained, it led to death. But his face was shining because why? Anytime you encounter God, anytime you come from prayer, anytime you come from communion with God, what happens is that you come from a place of reflecting the glory of God. And this is what we've just looked at the last verse, where it says, verse 18, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of God. That means each time you come to the presence of God, what happens is that you reflect his glory. Remember, human beings are made in the image and likeness of God. That means that we bear the image. It's like if you compare the sun and the moon does not have any light of its own. The moon basically gives the light that it reflects from the sun. So the shapes of the moon that we see, whether it's crescent, whether it's gibbous, whether it's a full moon, it is just based on the reflection of the moon's light, of the sun's light that is on the moon that gives us light. Now, human beings are created in a way that we only reflect the image and the glory of God. So the Bible says, as we in the new covenant, we no longer have that veil. Why? Because when Moses came with that glory of God, his face was glorious, his face was shining. And what did the people say? They said, no, please cover your face. Cover your face because we are scared to look at you. We are scared to look at you because you are shining. Now, that is the ministry. That is the old way. That is the old covenant. It had that glory. But the difference is that the old covenant, the glory of the old covenant was fading. It was fading. That means after some time, that shine that Moses had faded away and he was able to take away the veil. But you see, the challenge is when that veil was placed, what happens is even the hearts of the people, a veil was placed over their hearts. And one of the things that we have to understand, a veil is like a curtain. So when the curtain was placed over the face of Moses, it's like people did not want to see the glory of God. So they were hindered from seeing the glory of God. And you see, that's a challenge that we have, that curtains or veils blind people from seeing the glory of God. The reason why people don't understand the gospel, the Bible says that the enemy has blinded, the devil, the prince of this world, has blinded the hearts of the people that they do not understand the gospel. The reason why God has called us to pray for our people, to pray for the land we are in, to pray to make a difference, is because he knows that the enemy has blinded the hearts of the people, blinded their minds, blinded their thoughts, given them so many barriers that they will not even understand the gospel. You know, it's like when we came, the first thing that you will find, you'll be told, oh, there's no church. Oh, there's no, here people don't pray. That already from your entrance to a place like this is a veil that is already placed over your face. Now, for that veil to be removed, it only takes prayer. And that is why prayer is very important. Many times our prayer as believers is even no longer about ourselves, but is for the unbelievers, that God will remove that veil. That veil that blinds people, that veil that prevents them from knowing the truth. So you see, because their hearts are blinded, even when the church is there, they now are like, nah, I don't need to come, you know, I'm busy, oh, the time is not okay, oh, you know, weekend in the morning, Saturday, we need to rest, we need to sleep, we know we need to do exercise. Then you shift the service to the evening. And then you cannot say again that you did not wake up. You cannot say that you have not rested. You cannot say that you are doing something else. But you see, the enemy puts a veil over people that will always give them an excuse why not to come. So the role of believers, the role of those who God has placed, you know, in any territory, is to intercede on behalf of the land. God has placed it in a way that men ought to pray. That God has purpose, that for him to intervene over anyone, over any place, he has established a pattern. He says, call unto me and I will answer you. That means he gave human beings the land, he gave human beings the earth, and he gave them the dominion over the earth. Now, God will not come and interrupt your dominion unless you invite him. The reason why prayer is extremely important is because we give God the ability, or rather, not even just the ability, we give him the license, or we give him the permission to come and intervene not only in our lives, but also in the lives of others. It does not mean that God cannot intervene without prayer. God is supreme. He can do that. But he has established himself. He has honored his name and his word. He has exalted his word. He follows his word. And his word has said, call unto me. His word has said, they that come to me must believe that I exist, that I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. So what God is telling us is that we need to seek God. He has established a system that he himself is subject to. He has said, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, if you ask yourself, what is diligently seeking the Lord? When God says he is a rewarder, that means actually that God has a reward system in his purposes. That means that if we consistently, diligent, when you use the word diligent, that means it's time conscious, that means it's continuous, that means it's persistent. That means that you are not determined by, you know, by any challenge. You are not discouraged. I mean, it means that diligence means you pay attention to detail. You pay attention to obedience. You pay attention to time. You pay attention to consistency. Why? Because that consistency is important. The Bible says, them that diligently seek me, he is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of diligently. So think of that word diligent. But then now what we are seeing that it is not the glory that we have that is not fading away, that is forever, is actually a glory that comes from the Holy Spirit that is living in us and giving us life. Now, Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to ask the Father to send you a helper who is the Spirit of truth who will abide with you forever. That tells us that when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, he never leaves us. He never leaves us. The only thing is that either we grieve him, either we silence him, either we share our consciences, or either we disobey him. But you see, he is in us because he has given us life. So that means the life that we have of God is not of us. You see, if you read verse 9, it says, if the old way which brings condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way which makes us right with God? That means that the work of the Holy Spirit inside us is the one that makes us right with God. Our righteousness is actually based on the righteousness of the Holy Spirit living in us. It is God's Spirit in us that gives us that glory. It is God's Spirit in us that God looks at and considers us right with God. You know, many times we can try to judge ourselves. Oh, you know, I mean, I have these struggles, I have this, but the Bible tells us that when we put our faith in God, we receive the life of God in us, which is the Zoe life of God, which is the Holy Spirit, and we are entered into a new covenant. Now, this new covenant is different from the covenant of Moses. The covenant of Moses led to death. Why? Because it depended on you fulfilling your part of the covenant. That means that if you follow, if you obey, what will God do? He will bless your food and water. But this time, the new covenant is different. Why? Because the Holy Spirit inside you, the Bible says, I will start enter into a new covenant where it will not be the same as the old covenant, where the people were unable to keep it. But rather, it will be, I will write their laws in their hearts. That means that God will no longer put it on us, but he will live inside of us and help us to fulfill that covenant. So the new covenant is one that is enabled by God. So first of all, God makes you righteous. So he deals with the righteousness issue. He deals with the righteousness issue by giving you his Spirit, his life of God. Then from there, now he helps you and he teaches you to live that righteous life. That's why if you read Titus 2 verse 11, it says that, maybe we can just look at it. It says that the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and unrighteousness and to live self-controlled and upright lives in this present age. That means that God has given us his grace. He gives us his Spirit, that the Spirit of God inside us is to teach us. That means God has given you an enablement to fulfill the new covenant, to fulfill the new way. So we can no longer worry that if I don't do this, I'm going to receive the curses of Egypt. I'm going to receive this because I am unable to keep the law. In this time, Christ came and fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the old covenant. He fulfilled every requirement of the law. And all that we are asked to do is to believe that he has fulfilled it for us. That's why it says that we are now in a greater glory that lasts forever, that does not fade away. Why? Because it is the glory of the Spirit of God inside us that is in an ever-increasing glory remains. The Bible says, so if the old way which has been replaced was glorious, how much more glorious is the new covenant which remains forever? That means you have a glory inside you that is eternal. When you believe in Christ, you have a glory. You have the glory of God in you that is forever. So it's not based on how you slept. It's not based on what happened. It's not based on the challenges you faced. It is just based that this is the life of God. And indeed, you must know within you that you have a treasure that is just the life of God in you. And that life of God is what gives you the confidence. It's what gives us the confidence. And that is why you pray for people. Why? Because it is not your righteousness. It is the righteousness of God inside you that makes you right before God, that gives you the confidence to worship Him, that gives you the confidence to access His presence. So the Bible tells us, verse 13, we are not like Moses who put his veil so that the people of Israel will not see the glory of God, and their hearts were hardened, their minds were hardened. But this veil, this covering, is only removed by believing in Christ. So when we believe in Christ, the veil is taken away. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. The righteousness that we have is not of us, is not of our human effort, but it is the life of Christ in us. So what we have is a mystery, in that God not only helps us to live the covenant, helps us to fulfill that law, but He is the one who fulfills that law in us, through us. So that's why it says, Paul gets to a point where it says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So each time, if we look at ourselves, we fail. If we look at our abilities, we cannot match it. If we look at how many laws we have kept or what we've done, we cannot stand. But the time we look at the life of the Holy Spirit, when we look at the life of Christ, when we look at the Zoe life of God, the eternal life that Christ has given us, that is residing in us, then the Bible says we get to be very bold. We have the confidence. That confidence does not come from us, because it can never be from us. That righteousness can never be from us. It's only from God. That's why verse 16 says, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. The Lord, who is the Lord? Jesus Christ is Lord, is the Spirit. For the Lord is the Spirit. That means, you see, this is where we can see even the Holy Spirit being God. Because it says the Lord is the Spirit. That means the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God is God Himself. So the Holy Spirit inside of us gives us freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from sin. Freedom from condemnation. Freedom from accusation of the devil. Freedom from fear. Freedom from generational curses. Freedom from attacks of the devil. That even if no matter what, whatever it's an attack or whatever it is that we faced, what we know is that it is not us that count for our righteousness, but it is God's righteousness in us from the Spirit of God that assures us of our salvation. And that's why, you know, the Bible says, now it is Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence with great joy. It's only God who will keep us in salvation. It's only God who says that we are righteous in His eyes. It's only God who will present us before the Father to say that this one is righteous. Bring him into heaven. And how do we know that? Because He has given us His Spirit. So as long as you can hear the voice of the Spirit inside you, as long as you can hear that voice of the Spirit, as long as you can feel that condemnation inside you that, oh, I've done something wrong, I need to ask for forgiveness, that means you're still spiritually alive. That means the Spirit of God is still resident in you, and all you need to do is obey Him. Obey Him. As you listen to Him, He will guide. Remember, when Jesus left the earth, the Bible says He gave commandments to His disciples through the Holy Spirit. If you read Acts chapter 1, just up to verse 4 there, He says He gave commandments. That means that as a believer, there are things that you will be receiving instructions from the Holy Spirit. He will tell you maybe to fast. He will tell you maybe to pray for someone. He will tell you maybe to wake up at this time. He will tell you maybe to quit some programs. He will tell you maybe to... Those are specific instructions that come from the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us, verse 18, so all of us who have had that veil removed, so it is only in Christ. It's only by believing in Christ. And what is the believing in Christ? Believing in Christ is that it's no longer you that lives. It's Christ. It's no longer your righteousness, but Christ. It's no longer your holiness, but Christ. It's no longer your human effort that will get you to heaven, but Christ. So when that veil is removed, what happens is we can see and reflect the glory of God. We only know the glory of God through Christ. And the Lord, who is Spirit, makes us more and more like Him. That means that as we reflect Him, what happens? We are being changed into His image. The reality is we are becoming more like God. And you see, spiritually, physically, we might not see that. That's why the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. But spiritually, even the devil knows those who are of God. Why? Because they reflect God. They look like God. And when you spend time with God, what happens is that the Spirit of God in you becomes more glorious, glows. You reflect the glory of God. And that's why you can enter a place and someone will be like, what has entered here? What has changed here? Why? It's because you are in the presence of God. And when you enter that place, the glory of God is revealed. And the life of God is revealed. And the power of God is revealed. And people can know and sense the presence of God. And that's why you can go to a church and you know, yes, I was in the house of God. Why? Because the glory of God, the veil was removed and you could feel the presence and the glory of God. I want to stop there and I'll allow you, welcome you, my sister, if you have any reflections or questions. Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you. It's very powerful that I was just looking into the veil. You know, sometimes, many a times we are covered with veils that we don't know, veils of fear.
Yeah,
and you are always asking yourself, will I be able? But I know even when Jesus Christ died, the one thing that was done first was the veil was removed. Yeah, amen. It's just a matter of now trusting the blood of Jesus that He may wash away any other veil that can come along our salvation, our walk with God. That He may remove it completely. Because amen. As most of the time we go through a lot of covering, veiling that also hinder us from hearing God at the right time. That is my reflection with the word that you have just shared, that with Christ everything is possible. We just need to trust Him.
Yeah.
And with as we walk with Him, He will be able to help us.
Yeah, true. Actually, this issue of veil is so...
He's a helper.
Yeah. Actually, the issue of veil
is so... No, continue.
Yeah, the veil is so serious because from time to time, different veils come. I like the way you have put it. Different veils come. And at times it comes from what we hear from people or even from a message that you hear. Yeah. You understand? It's like in Christ, the veil is taken away. But then you go to someone and he preaches something and you're like, they put back the veil on again.
They cover you with another veil,
and they tell you, oh yes, like what we were talking about, like, oh, you need to do this sacrifice, you need to do this, yet it is not that, it is in Christ. Only by believing in Christ. And you see, once you believe in Christ, that covenant that you're supposed to live, you will realize that He helps you to live it. He helps you to fulfill it. In that the law, it's not like the law is taken away. No, but you receive the power of Christ to fulfill that covenant.
Amen.
And even beyond. And that is why for me, I said anyone in the new covenant cannot say that he's not under law. In fact, he lives beyond the standards of the law. Because Jesus told them, you say that you are told not to commit adultery, but I tell you, if you look at a woman lustfully, you have already committed
Yeah, that
adultery.
is
That means that the
the
demands of the
thing.
new covenant are higher. But why are they higher? It's no longer even you working on it. It's Christ living in you that helps you, and that helps you to live that righteous life. Yeah, we thank God. We thank God for the grace, and by the grace of God, we'll be able to continue tomorrow as God allows us. So let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for the reflections that you've given us. Thank you for your hand, your power, your mercy. That, Lord, the veil is taken away in Christ. Only by believing in Christ is the veil taken away. And I thank you that, Lord, may we understand you. May we understand Christ. May you give us the grace, the power, the wisdom to understand you. And thank you for bringing us together. I commit the day before you that whatever we do, it shall be blessed. And even our family members and anyone that concerns us, that, Lord, you walk with them, keep them and sustain them. Oh, God, we pray that you bless everything, bless our going and our coming back, and indeed, even as we continue to reflect on your word this day, that, Lord, it shall bear fruit, and every veil of the enemy that is blinding us, that we may have put on ourselves, that has been put on others, I pray that indeed, through your spirit, it's taken away, O God, and give us your faith in you, to the praise and honor of your holy name. We honor, we adore you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. God bless.